Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And again, you know, as always, I'm just happy to be here with the opportunity of having being able to talk with you guys and just share some thoughts about some things that are important to us as we go through our lives. It's so important for us to spend some time and reflect on what is going on around us and how do we respond and deal with those things that are impacting our lives. I want to share a little with you as we go into this unconscious bias and dealing with how do we navigate our lives in a way that we can still reach our dreams and recognize that there's things that we're going to have to deal with. I think in 2016, we're coming to an understanding that we have to deal with life as it truly is and not as we might wish it to be. I grew up in an environment where I was blessed to have two professional parents, and we lived in a predominantly black environment. And my mom was a teacher, and I went to an all-black elementary school. And I felt very comfortable there. And I didn't feel like somehow my world was without choices, without opportunities. They always made me feel like I had I could live my dreams. And the uniqueness of my experience was that in the late 1960s, I moved from a all-black school to an all-white school, and I was the only black student there because my mom had to move cross over. That was just before integration, and she had to go to the white school to teach, and she took me with her. And so I was in an environment then with all these white students, and you just recognize that you had to be prepared to stand up for yourself. There was some acceptance. There was a lot of acceptance there. And so it wasn't like I had to go to school every day prepared to fight or anything, but there were always crazy things being said around me that I had to determine whether or not fighting was going to be a part of my existence. And so I had to be aware. I can remember one student telling me, I can have a white Christmas, you can't. You know, I was thinking, well, you know, I didn't think nobody had a white Christmas in Florida, so I don't know what was up with that. But it was just interesting that I went from an all-white elementary school then to a middle school, then to a middle school where it was half black and half white. And then I went to an all-black high school, which was a historical black high school, which was called Jones High School. And I'm going to have to tell you, during that time, I felt much more like I could have the dreams that I wanted, that there was less interference for me than it was for my parents. But now, in 2016, it seems to me that racism and
unconscious bias is raising its head again. And it's raising its head in a way that is making it obvious to us that there are people still out there who carry unconscious bias or this racism in their spirit. And so I'm having a real difficult time understanding what direction we're really going in as a society. Because when you take a look at it, look at this presidential race, we have a minority or African-American group that is probably going to vote 95% Democrat for Hillary Clinton. It is almost a foregone conclusion that up to 90% or more African-Americans are going to vote for Hillary Clinton. It's an almost foregone conclusion that Hispanics are going to vote in large numbers as Democrats. It is also a foregone conclusion that this man is not going to be able to win over the woman vote, that a large percentage of women are going to vote Democrat. But why is it that the system is still so close? Who is it out there who is voting for Donald Trump? Who is this group of individuals, when you look at these polls, that are gathering behind him and keeping him so close? And I think that says a lot about our society, a lot about where we are. And we have to deal and understand, how do we deal with these biases? How do we make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be taken advantage of or have our feelings dismissed by these people who are out there prepared and willing to put Donald Trump in office? It is clear to me that there is something afoot. There's a force, and a changing force, too, because the force was not into play when we were voting to elect Barack Obama into office. But now all of a sudden there's a force out there that was created, that this bias and this racism is so strong that even with the real crazy things that Donald Trump has said and done, there's a tidal wave of people that are still interested in backing him. And if that comes true, where does that put people of color? What are we going to do if we wake up in January and Donald Trump is our president, and everywhere around us, those people in leadership feel even more comfortable being biased against us? We have to ask ourselves, how are we going to defend ourselves from this tidal wave, if it becomes a real reality in January? I'm afraid that we're going to have to really come to grips with being on guard in a way that we've never been on guard before, because we cannot allow ourselves to slip back 50 or 100 years based on this tidal wave of unconscious bias or racism. What kind of world will we be giving to our children or to our grandchildren if we allow this tidal wave to wipe America out? So I think it's important that we understand why it's so important for us to be engaged, why it's so important for us to build other vehicles to get the word out about what we're thinking and what we're feeling, to galvanize our forces to make sure that this doesn't happen. We have to put in place the kinds of things that are needed for us to defend our beliefs and our feelings related to the Constitution. You see, you have those people on the right who are always trying to defend their side of the Constitution, their beliefs, their position. The liberal side or the Democratic side has to be as committed to do the same. So that's why it's so important for us to take this new vehicle that we have, never had it so good, Sports Media Network, and Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, and build it into a force that will work for us in the future as we try to protect the gains that we have made as a people. Because right now, everything that we thought we had or we thought we were going to have is under siege. Donald Trump has amassed force that is looking as though it could really take over. And I have to tell you, I'm not interested in living in a world where Donald Trump is going to be my president for 8 years. I'm not going to live, I don't want to live, in a world where unconscious bias becomes the norm. If we ever had racism on the ropes, it is now definitely prepared and ready to start to fight all over again. And we have to ask ourselves, what role are we going to play in keeping this from happening? Because understand, those of us who are in our 50s and 60s are not the ones who are going to be left with trying to rebuild the chaos that is created by Donald Trump and his cronies. Getting rid of these dangerous individuals that exist in the police departments around the country is going to be a lot more difficult under a government controlled by Donald Trump and the Republican Party. It depresses me every time I look at the news to see that he's within the margin of error related to winning polls. And that in those battleground states, in some of them, he's ahead by a few points. And I just don't understand, where are those individuals who put Barack Obama in office and kept him in office for 2 terms? Has that coalition we put together turned their backs on us? Are people of color now standing alone with no support from white America? What is going on? What is happening? And we need to be asking the question or seeking information to see what's happening. I really would like to have a honest conversation with those in white America who really believe that our country would be better off under his rule. I don't see the benefit of being led by Donald Trump in any fashion whatsoever. And that what we have, what we will see as we look ahead, is truly depressing to me. And I'd like to know what it is you're thinking. 2730, 2730, what do you think is going on and where do we find ourselves in this period of time where racism is becoming very clear and the unconscious bias has an opportunity to become the norm?
Okay, thank you. This is Audrey from Lakeland, Florida, and thank you for the opportunity. you've asked several questions, so let me try to respond one component at a time. And this may not be what you want to hear, and you may not like it, but to me this is what reality is. I believe you asked the question of where are the supporters that were around for President Obama's two terms election. To rewind back just prior to President Obama being elected for his first term, and the country was in such an uproar as relates to being dissatisfied with what President Bush had accomplished in the position in which he had placed us in. So people thought that this radical young senator, if you would, didn't have a chance being a black male. But our president rallied people that wanted to express their frustration and being unhappy with where we are and where we were. So people turned out leaps and bounds. President Obama used the social media, and he really received a rally of people that was dissatisfied with the government. So in essence, some of the voters for President Obama was at a point that do anything they could to vote for something that was not seen as the norm and carrying on what would normally be the process. If you remember when he ran against Hillary Clinton, the fact that, you know, President Clinton had been in the White House and all that she had done and supported, people wanted to get rid of that. They wanted to get rid of that attachment. So we find ourselves now, people are so upset with their condition, the society of where we are in, the fact that we are hearing of more deaths, more and more under President Obama than we've ever had as it relates to black lives. Not that it wasn't occurring, but because of social media now and just racism just being profound, because so many haters didn't want President Obama to have a second term. So they're at the point, any means necessary, do not let him get back in there. So you ask for the supporters, while they may have supported President Obama in the past, they're frustrated with the system because things have not moved they would have liked under our president. And the fact that Hillary Clinton, she comes with a lot of baggage. I'm not saying she's not qualified, but you're asking where the voters are. And they are not willing to support her with the baggage that's associated with her. I have said, and it's not about who said or whatever, but I said a long time ago, watch out for Trump because he has the momentum. We might not like it. We may not appreciate it. But I knew we were in trouble when each time he would do something worse and worse, in essence, get away with it. It's a whole new view of candidates running for our president. They're going to an all-time low, in my opinion. Now, that's the situation. Do we have an opportunity to resolve it? Because I'm all about resolution. Yes, but it will take everybody putting forth effort, communicating with young and old voters, not only making sure that they're registered, but making sure that they go out to vote. I am in Florida. I received a notice from our voter registration election office asking me to confirm whether I want to have my voter absentee ballot, and if so, how long. But that's another way to confirm your voting place. I tell you what, everybody should make sure that they take the time now that if they are a registered voter, no matter where they are, make sure that everything is in place. For those members who, for whatever reason, haven't registered to vote, make sure that they're registered before the deadline. And then, most importantly, it will all come down to who gets the people out to vote. Because if a person don't vote, in essence, they are casting their vote for Donald Trump.
But one of the problems,
and that's my view of it.
One of the problems, Audrey, is that we are constantly being bombarded now by behaviors and attitudes that had become invisible, that had that we had thought were non-existent. but are very much in our faces right now. And to turn your back, those of us, people of color and women, to not galvanize ourselves in a fashion that we defend our rights or the rights that we feel are important to us, and not allow our country to turn back to some of the ugliness that we had experienced in the past, just does not seem to make sense.
Unfortunately, we are people that so quickly forget. You know, it was a time when the Republicans voted in such a manner, they said, oh, man, the Democrats going to have this thing wrapped up. You let a couple of weeks go by, they have amnesia. You just forget. So I understand what you're saying. I do, absolutely. But it's many out there that's so frustrated and not willing to really remember what has occurred and the impact of what will be under a leadership that have demonstrated it's not tolerating the things that have been accomplished in favor of minorities. But he outright tell you where he's coming from and bold enough and proud enough to do it. So, and yet people still support him and will support him. So, again, that just means that we would have to work even harder, because it's disappointing, yes, that we find ourselves in this situation, but this is where we are. And we can't just remain disappointed. We have to take action, because that leverage or that percentage will continue to increase if we just stand by and just say, I'm in amazement. I can't believe that. But you keep saying that, because he's going to keep gaining percentages unless we actually take action and do.
Well, we're going to take a short break and come back. And I have some snippets that I want to play. And I want to get your opinion, and I hope there's some others who are going to be calling in, because we really want to get people's opinions of these snippets. But we're going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to come back and just discuss these little sound bites and where do we feel like we are at this time and place in our society as this tsunami is growing and is going to hit us in November if we do not do something about it. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
It is my belief that no matter what happens, no matter what we see, the cops are given a presumption of innocence. If that same tape showed a suspect doing something, that would be all the prosecution would need. They would say the evidence is all right here. But a cop gets a presumption of innocence that is, no matter what they see, we can see somebody getting shot to death. They go, we don't know what happened before. We don't know what happened after. Mm-hmm. I know this, that in a state, in both these states, men, a lot of men in Louisiana, 47% of people carry guns. Men carry guns. So men having guns on them can't be that unusual. Why wasn't the first question, rather than assuming, do you have a permit for that? Mm-hmm. Those are states that you can carry a gun.
But you're making assumptions, because we don't know what happened.
No.
What we have right now is her testimonial, which doesn't capture the actual event. Do we know whether she's credible? Do we know whether...
We know this. We know he had a permit to carry a gun.
But that doesn't answer any of the questions.
That absolutely answers the question.
If he pulled the firearm on the officer, if he didn't disclose it, if the officer felt threatened...
Why on earth would you... Here's what we do know. He had a permit to carry a gun. When you get a permit to carry a gun, they tell you exactly how to act when a police officer pulls
you over. That doesn't mean he didn't threaten the officer.
You're willing to give them a presumption of innocence.
I'm not giving them presumption. Well, the law gives them the presumption of innocence.
No, they're bad gives them a presumption.
I'm saying we don't know the facts.
I know this.
We saw this happen with Michael Brown and Ferguson.
And we still don't know the facts there. We have a police officer's word and a grand jury's word.
No, we have the Department of Justice's word.
The Department of Justice shut down Ferguson. Ferguson had to be shut down because it was so corrupt.
The Department of Justice found that the police there had endemic racism. They found that.
Right.
But they also exonerated Officer
Derrick
Wilson.
That's not a...
And they found hands up, don't shoot was a lie.
Let me ask you something.
And that Michael Brown was the aggressor.
Wow. Here's what I'll say.
Don't wow me.
Don't tell me not to wow you. I can say wow if I want to, and I'll tell you this.
That is what they found.
I'll tell you this. They found systemic racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's unbelievable. They also found systemic racism, and we know that Darren Wilson left the department because it was so racist it had to be disbanded, and he went to Ferguson, another department that is rife with racism.
So that makes him a racist.
Absolutely. You know what? I have no problem.
Michael Brown grabbed that officer's gun and tried to shoot him in his patrol car.
That is No one has proven that.
Eric Holder's DOJ concluded.
And Eric Holder's DOJ concluded that department was so rife with corruption.
That's a dodge. I already conceded that, DL.
Hey, Megan,
we're talking about Michael Brown and the lie.
Let's be clear.
Of hands up,
don't
shoot.
I don't dodge at all. I'm here in Fox News.
We're talking about
the young man that just got murdered in Minnesota. And
the
went
rush
to
judgment
went,
and the assumption you
have,
know something
have,
when you don't
I,
actually
well, first
know
off,
it.
First off, what I'll tell you is this. It is not uncommon for you all to see one thing. The only place racism doesn't exist is Fox News and the police department.
That's absolutely true. You just insulted millions of people watching this channel.
And you know what? I'm insulted by the things I hear on this network, so we're even. I could care less about insulting people that insult me on a daily basis.
You're making a point that is, before the insults, the point you started to make is true, and we can talk about that whites perceive the situation when it comes
I don't
to the
I think a lot of people on this network have never seen a black man anything deserved.
Could you hold the insults for a second so we can have a productive conversation? You were going to make the point that whites see certain incidents differently than blacks do, and we saw that in the O.J. Simpson case when the verdict came down.
Sure.
I have to tell you that I have a higher level of respect for D.L. Hughley. I could not believe what transpired during that interview. Fox was willing to denounce a woman who took the time to videotape the death of her boyfriend by suggesting that she might be a liar. By suggesting a man who was driving his girlfriend and her child home for dinner might have pulled out a weapon and threatened a police officer. There was no reason whatsoever for that man or that woman to lie. There was every reason for that police officer to lie. So often, information that is fully available is so quickly forgotten. When that man was pulled over, that officer had already decided that he might be a robbery suspect. Fox News didn't interject that part, that already they know that he walked up to that car with the thought that this man was not a traffic stop, but a possible robbery suspect, and that his heightened need for safety had nothing to do with the people in the car. But yet Fox News is ready and prepared to put the responsibility for this young man's murder on him who had done everything lawfully. These are the problems that we have in our society right now, and they will get even worse underneath a government controlled by Donald Trump. An organization like Fox News and these police departments will feel as though they don't have to go through their organization and rid themselves of people who are unable to do the job and do it in a way that is respectful to all races of people. Audrey, had you heard that snippet or interview between D.L. Hughley and Fox before, or was that the first time?
That's my first time hearing it, but I do know here recently that D.L. has really stepped up and have appeared on several talk shows and really don't mind voicing his views, and I appreciate that. But, you know, that was my first time hearing that, and I'm just so proud and thankful for him because if we don't start speaking up, and like I said, can you imagine? They automatically want to just disregard an actual footage that was occurring there. My God, if you're not going to accept that for what it's worth, it's nothing that we can do. I mean, that's the closest you can possibly come because, you know, we've had videos before for killings and murders, and they always find something that was wrong with it. But here, she was wise enough. And, again, I don't know how she did it. I mean, here's someone that I cared about being shot at, and I still composed myself enough. But she was wise enough to know, you know, this is what I have to do because living in Florida, we have to always prepare for hurricanes. So you plan, you know, your exit route, what you're going to have for your family in the event that you have to move and that kind of stuff. You have a plan, and we're encouraged to do so. So I'm thinking that this young lady must have had the foresight of knowing, you know, in case something happens, this is what I should do because I don't know if I would have thought to do that automatically without having a plan in place. Listen, if I get pulled over, I need to immediately start recording this, you know. But to answer your question, no, that was the first time I had heard this snippet. And, again, I'm just so proud of D.L. Hughley representing truth and having the courage to voice against some of these oppressors.
And that's what we have to be able to do. We have to be able to fight them tooth and nail because they are going to take a position and steadfast hold that position and let you have them look in the mirror and show them that they're lying. There is no reason, again, this man left his mother's home, going home for him and his girlfriend and her child to have dinner. And they were stopped under the premise that they had a broken taillight. Then we find out they didn't have a broken taillight at all. So it is just that we have to be so prepared. Let me ask this question. I wasn't able to get the sound bite, but what did you think of the athlete who stood up, the professional basketball players who stood up and made those announcements at the ESPY Awards?
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Oh, it made me so proud. And I'm just excited about the times that we're in. Is it a challenging time? Yes. But, you know, everything is for a season and everything is for a reason. And it seems as though it has taken, unfortunately, it has taken the toll on everyone as far as the constant murders that's occurring, that people are now starting to take action. And I am so proud of these brothers who are using their platform to stand united and put out the expectation and request. And we'll just continue to rally around them, and not only them, but, again, whatever actions we can do ourselves, because it'll take all of us uniting our effort to make a change.
And I'm with you, Andre. I think that I have never seen an opportunity like these young men took, and they seem to be committed and prepared to take that voice or take that display on in the future. And they should need, if they can galvanize all pro athletes to make similar statements or to stand up, that would be such a big step toward us doing the kind of things that we need to do in order to refute this movement that Donald Trump has put in place. So I just hope that football and baseball and all these other different sports stand up and be counted just like basketball has.
And we have to be reminded, though, you know, actions are taking place beyond what we're seeing on television and social media forefront. Please realize that an individual mentoring and coaching and encouraging and inspiring our youth and our communities and even our young people and elders as well of the value that they bring. Let me say that's action. That's part of it. That's the reason why I say everyone can do a part. And I'm a believer in that everyone was created with different gifts and talents. If we work our gift, if we work our talent, and we combine it with someone else's gift and their talent, that's when we'll feel change. So let us not look for athletes or political leaders to be the one that leads the way. Realize that we all, each of us, play a part in this, and everything that we do, if we combine it together and move forward in the same direction, we will make a change. And again, I'm excited now because at first I can tell you that I just had got upset. I didn't want to hear no more about talking. And I'm not a violent person by no means. But, you know, everyone has a breaking point in which, you know, they say enough is enough. And I'm so glad that several people are just saying this racism has been in existence for years upon years. And like I said, maybe it went down undercover for just a moment. Once certain people use their platform to almost acknowledge and say it's okay, then it becomes more prevalent. It gives a person that would have been hesitant to do anything, say, I can do that. And then when we see our officers, not all of them, but the officers that are hateful and just prejudiced and all, didn't receive any consequences. I mean, they used the same stamp, theme or statement, I fear for my life. Oh, my goodness. So, and that's what this lady was alluding to on there, that you don't know if he threatened. You know, trying to position this officer to say the same code, man. Say the same code. That's the whole thing. You say the same code, you're getting out.
And that's what you see. You see them staging the opportunity for him to follow up with, you know, it was his fault. He made the mistake. But what we have to stay true to is those of us can see through the darkness and who will force them to see the light. And the fact is that we cannot be the country we claim to be if we're willing to deny the truth. And I think people like our athletes and like our entertainers have to lead the forefront. They should, but we have to support them. Those of us down here on the front lines have to support them, but we have to give them their just due when they're willing to step out and show what it is that they're thinking and feeling. And we have to galvanize ourselves. We have to be on today on The View. Whoopi Goldberg was talking about the fact that it was white, black, Orientals, Hispanics, all walking together across the country because we can see the truth for what it is. And we cannot stand behind evil. We have to support the truth. And in supporting the truth, we will support all of us. And that's the position that we have to be prepared to take. And when people like Dwayne Wade and others who may lose out on endorsements take these kinds of stands, then we can be assured that we have to be back there to back them up. They have to know that we are behind them and we support their efforts, and we're going to allow them to lead us against this tsunami that's being built by Donald Trump and his cronies. It is time for us to recognize that we can't sit back and wait and let other people control our fate. We have to be in control of our fate. We have to be prepared to fight the battle to make sure that our children live in a society that would allow their dreams to come true, that would allow them to be the people that they were born to be. All right, we're going to take another short break. I'm going to ask that we play another clip, and this clip is called White Privilege, and is a poem that's been going around that was created by a teenager. See, we need young people to get involved in this battle as well. We need young people to play a part because they're the future of us winning the battle against racism. So I'm going to ask my producer to play White Privilege.
My poem is titled White Boy Privilege. Dear women, I'm sorry. Dear black people, I'm sorry. Dear Asian Americans, dear Native Americans, dear immigrants who come here seeking a better life, I'm sorry. Dear everyone who isn't a middle or upper class white boy, I'm sorry. I have started life at the top of a ladder while you were born on the first drum. I say now that I would change places with you in an instant, but if given the opportunity, would I? Probably not, because to be honest, being privileged is awesome. I'm not saying that you and me on different rungs of the ladder is how I want it to stay. I'm not saying that any part of me for a moment even liked it that way. I'm just saying that I fucking love being privileged and I'm not ready to give that away. I love it because I can say fucking and not one of you is attributing that to the fact that everyone of my skin color has a dirty mouth. I love it because I don't have to spend an hour every morning putting on makeup to meet other people's standards. I love it because I can worry about what kind of food is on my plate instead of whether or not there will be food on my plate. I love it because when I see a police officer, I see someone who's on my side. To be honest, I'm scared of what it would be like if I wasn't on the top rung, if the tables were turned and I didn't have my white boy privilege safety blankie to protect me. If I lived a life lit by what I lack, not what I have, if I lived a life in which when I failed, the world would say, told you so. If I lived the life that you live. When I was born, I had a success story already written for me. You were given a pen and no paper. I've always felt that that's unfair, but I've never dared to speak up because I've been too scared. Well, now I realize that there's enough blankie to be shared. Everyone should have the privileges I have. In fact, they should be right instead. Everyone's story should be written, so all they have to do is get it read. Enough said. No, not enough said. It is embarrassing that we still live in a world in which we judge another person's character by the size of their paycheck, the color of their skin, or the type of chromosomes they have. It is embarrassing that we tell our kids that it is not their personality, but instead those same chromosomes that get to dictate what color clothes they wear, and how short they must cut their hair. But most of all, it is embarrassing that we deny this, that we claim to live in an equal country in an equal world. We say that women can vote. Well, guess what? They can run a country, own a company, and throw a nasty curveball as well. We just don't give them the chance to. I know it wasn't us 8th grade white boys who created this system, but we profit from it every day. We don't notice these privileges, though, because they don't come in the form of things we gain, but rather the lack of injustices that we endure. Because of my gender, I can watch any sport on TV and feel like that could be me one day. Because of my race, I can eat in a fancy restaurant without the waitstaff expecting me to steal my silverware. Thanks to my parents' salary, I go to a school that brings my dreams closer instead of pushing them away. Dear white boys, I'm not sorry. I don't care if you think the feminists are taking over the world, the Black Lives Matter movement has gotten a little too strong, because that's bullshit. I get that change can be scary, but equality shouldn't be. Hey, white boys, it's time to act like a woman, to be strong and make a difference. It's time to let go of that fear. It's time to take that ladder and turn it into a bridge.
I tell you what, that is what we have to have. We have to have everyone recognizing and being willing to fight and do their part. I saw on television yesterday a woman and a white female walking in South Los Angeles, I think I remember, and she had a sign on that says, African Americans, I'm sorry. And she had it on both sides. It is just time for us to recognize what is being true, and that all of us were fully aware of, that we, in order to make it, have to make some changes. But the first step in changing is recognizing what is in place. We have some other callers out there, and before we come to the end of the show, I want to give everybody an opportunity to share their opinions and their thoughts about unconscious bias and racism that exists in our society. And are we going to let the tsunami of Donald Trump wipe us away? 7861, 7861. Give us your name and where you're calling from, and share with us your thoughts.
This is Derek from Apopka.
How you doing, Derek? What do you think
I'm
about
right.
this tsunami called Donald Trump and this racism and this unconscious bias that seems to be prepared to take us backwards?
Well, I'm not, you know, I would submit that, you know, many people, I won't say most, but many people have unconscious biases when it comes to various things. I know that I grew up in a rough neighborhood, and sometimes when I go home to the neighborhood, I may look at the young brothers a certain way because of what I think they might be thinking or something like that. You know what I mean? Not intentionally feeling that way, but maybe just somewhere deep down, you know, so I can relate to people who feel that way. But I don't think with Donald Trump we're talking about things that are unconscious. I think we're talking about very conscious decisions, very blatant and outright in your face, this is how I feel stuff. It's not unconscious. Not with him and those who have supported his ways in the last several months. I don't think that part is unconscious at all. I just don't see it. I see it very purposeful, very conscious.
Well, what do you think about what we need to do as people of color to fight back? What will become, you know, if you don't fight something and make it fight it back, it will become the norm. And we just can't afford for that to become the norm.
Well, I think the mix of protest, I think the mix of understanding the economic, the talks of the boycott that have been going on the last few weeks. People have been talking about the black dollar and the power of the black dollar for the last however many years. I'm sure your whole life, you're older than me. I'm sure you heard about it when you were a little kid and you saw the examples of what the Alabama bus boycott did. And that's a story I tell people all the time. The Alabama bus boycott worked because those are the people who were the lifeline of that particular industry. They fed that money into those coffers. And when they shut that down, those people had to come back to the table and say, okay, fine, we're sorry. Not necessarily we're sorry, but we will make the adjustments and treat you like we should have treated you in the first place since you're paying the same amount of money that these other people are paying. They didn't do it because it was right or they felt sorry or whatever. They did it because they were crippling them when it came to the money, because all the black people were the ones riding the bus because they were in the service industry. So they were all over the city working. So they were the ones who did that. So I think that if we come with our economic might, we can shut down various things like has never been seen before. But until we do that, we're going to still be playing around and, you know, a few words here, a few words there. And on the other side, I hear people talking about Black Lives Matter. Why do we have to say that? Why can't we say All Lives Matter and all this? We cannot worry about making somebody else feel good because it's an uncomfortable discussion. It's an uncomfortable discussion. It's been uncomfortable since we've been in America. It's going to be uncomfortable until, like you said, some of those you have to understand and acknowledge. Once that acknowledgement comes about, I don't need a white person to feel sorry about anything. I just need them to understand and have empathy and work for change. They don't have to feel sorry about what their great-great-great-great somebody did. That's not important to me. But let's acknowledge the issues and the problems, and let's then get to the table and talk about solutions. And that's the only way that it's going to really happen.
And be willing to share. I think part of this is that we have a segment of our society who just are not willing to share the dream. They want the dream for themselves. And it goes all the way up to the top. When you think about the one, you know, when they're constantly talking about the 1% owns the majority of the wealth, it just seems that those individuals in corporate America and billionaires are just unwilling to create an environment where the dream can be shared by more individuals.
Well, to that end, I probably think that's probably a little different topic. For me, that's how it, if you think about the Rockefellers and the folks, if you go way back, Henry Ford, those kinds of people, those super rich people always going to want to be super rich. They're never going to want the small people coming to the table. That was the reason why the progressive movement was such a big deal, because, you know, people say, hey, man, I'm working 14 hours a day for scraps, and you're rich, and you got everything. We have nothing. So I think I think for that to happen, for the sharing to happen, the sharing ain't going to happen willingly. The sharing is going to be when you say, hey, you know what? We're not going to take this. This is what we needed to be, and we're going to fight for it. That's why when these people bust these unions and all this other stuff, that becomes very important, because they then take away the advocacy for the little voice that's trying to come to the table and be dealt with seriously for those people who are super-duper rich and don't have time to hear what the little man has to say.
And you're so right. And until, you know, that's one of the things that I believe in terms of the Republican Party. I had heard that by some of the documentaries that poor whites have been duped for so long to believe that they should be lined up against African Americans that for years they have been voting against their own interests. And they remain a force in the Republican Party despite that the Republican Party don't really have any agendas to support them. So you have this fraction amongst the middle class and the poor created by those of power who want to suggest to poor whites and poor the middle class that they're better served if they align themselves with the rich.
Well, and it keeps the rich richer, and it keeps all the rest of us talking about, you know, nonsense, and that's what they like it. Keep talking about nonsense. Keep your eye off the ball. And while y'all there fighting about nonsense, keep coming to work and clocking in for these few dollars while we still getting richer and richer and richer, and y'all down there fighting about nonsense, and we got your eye off the ball, and it's not about us. It's about y'all fighting about this little this and this little that, and the status quo remains. So you are 100% right about that. That strategy, it has worked and is working. If now more than ever, you got Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't represent all these people who are coming behind him saying, oh, we support him. Johnny and Joe Smith that live out way out in the woods somewhere. Donald Trump wouldn't even come to your house. He wouldn't even come down your street. But yet you think he's the best thing since sliced bread. That's the funniest thing in the world to me.
And it goes without saying. I mean, they sit there and think that this man who does not, who've already voiced his opinion about saying wages are too high, and you're going to support a man who says, wages are too high, and you cannot eat the way you want to at $8.50 an hour, and this man is telling you that he's not looking to raise the wages to $15, and you will still vote for him. That's got to be the craziest thing in the world.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy, and it's to, you know, if we go back to the original with the Black Lives Matter and acknowledgement and everything, if people would just do that, black people do not want a white person to say, we're sorry about slavery. I don't need that. But I want you to understand the reality of the world right now. I would like for that acknowledgement, and now let's talk about what we can do to move forward. You know, that's for me, that goes a long way, because when that black senator from South Carolina got up there and said that, told that story, he's one of theirs. So they can't shut him up. They can't say, oh, no, you're not telling the truth. When he said, yeah, this happens to me all the time. Now what's your defense now to your guy? This is your guy talking now. What can you say? You cannot brush it away and act like it doesn't exist when your guy, who has followed the party line for the last however many years now, says, well, you know, that kind of thing happens to me all the time. Now what do you have to say in defense or as a way to make this situation better?
It's so true, so true. Well, Derek, I just want to thank you for coming on. I've been missing you, brother. You know, we hadn't had one of these fire conversations in a while. The ladies have been holding things up for me, but you got to find your way back to me on a regular basis. I'm on 7 days a week now, so we have more and more opportunities to really share our thoughts and kind of galvanize this movement that we want to create where people have their voice and an opportunity to be heard. So I want to thank you for coming back, and don't be gone so long.
Will do. I'm on top of it now. I'm on top of it. You on every day? That gives me a chance to round my mouth every day.
All right. Listen, guys, we are coming to the end of the show. Again, I want to tell you and say to you, we need you out there supporting Never Had It So Good Sports Network and Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. You are the movement that we need to move forward and to have put ourselves in a place where your voice is heard around the world. And I want you to visit my, this is my call to action today. I want you to visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. You can always listen to the back shows. The shows are there for you to listen to if you missed anything. Then that's www.jamestdeshay. And I want you to write me at djames82@aol.com. Now, you know I just said that wrong. It's djames82@aol.com. I'm so sorry for making that mistake. Let me make sure I say it right. djames82@aol.com. And call me if you need to talk about being a guest host on the show at 407-394-9819. We want all our voices heard in a way that benefits our community and makes sure that our voices are heard loud and clear. This show is your vehicle, your opportunity to make sure your voice is heard every time we have a show, because I'm going to make available the time needed for you to share your piece. And that's what we're going to have. So I'm looking forward to continuing our everyday. It is, I'm getting used to it, and it, we're going to have that for the rest of the year. And after we evaluate it, after the rest of the year, we're going to have it continuously coming 2017. So this is our opportunity to build a show and a network that's going to stand tall, head and shoulders above everyone else. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're going to be a force to be reckoned with, and you are going to be that force that propels us forward. So I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And go to my website,
Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309. Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867. And Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author